Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message from Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up our hands. The presence of God is in this place. We're about to conclude our Lifestyle of Presence series, and I believe God wants to release his stamp of approval on us. So you're going to walk out of here with a greater measure of his presence. You are about to walk out of this place with a greater measure of his presence. Some of you came in one way, you're going to leave another way. I don't know, when I was sitting there, Sister Avalon says something. She has this quote that she says. She's talking about fighting. I heard her voice, but when I heard her voice, I knew it wasn't her, it was the Lord. You know what I heard? I heard the Lord say, I'm about to mop the floor with the devil. Amen. You may have your seats. The love of God surrounds us. The love of God surrounds you. Amen. Just give me about 10 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Come on, God is just hovering over this place. He's walking in this place. One of the greatest things I ever discovered was the power of worship. The power of worship. If there was one thing I could teach until eternity, it would be on worship. Everybody say worship. There's two words attached to that one word called worship. Worth and relationship. Worth and relationship. We don't serve a God who was made by hands. We don't serve a God who's a statue. We don't serve a sun god or a tree god. We don't serve a rock god. We don't serve a created image, but we serve a God who created us and who wants to relate to us. We serve a living God, not a God who's a figment of our imaginations, but he's a God who lives. And the Bible says, we live, move, and have our being in him. That we exist because he exists. We're alive because he's alive. And the awesomeness of God, the greatness of our God, is in the fact that he wants to actually have a relationship with us. A relationship, a mutual one at that. That he actually created us to have friendship with him, to have communion with him, to actually share life together with him. You see, that means our God wants to actually interact with us on a daily basis. That we're not dying to one day get to experience him. We experience him today. And tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And when we talk about religion, we're talking about a lifestyle where we are pursuing the presence of God in a sense that he's not here and that we're going to work to one day get to experience him. But when we talk about a lifestyle of presence, we're talking about a lifestyle where he is here now and we get to live from his reality today. Hallelujah. That he is Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord. His name is Emmanuel. That means God with us. God is with you. And all ministry, what Jesus came to do was to reveal to you the nearness of God, the closeness of God, how near, how real, how tangible God is. And when you relate to this God and begin to discover who he is, you actually learn to live a lifestyle called worship, right? We worship him. We know the story in Genesis. Adam sinned. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost communion and fellowship with God. And that they were closed off from the nowness and the nearness of his presence, right? That they were kicked out of the garden. The garden was now sealed up by an angel who ran around it with fire and a sword. And they could no longer enter back into that place called Eden, the place where they had intimacy with him. And one of the amazing things about that passage was before that happened, Adam and Eve had a relationship with God in which God visited them every day. That there was an interaction and intimacy with God that they shared. And I wanted to show you this verse because the Lord just dropped this verse in me while we were in worship, and Ryan confirmed it when he talked about his voice. Just look at Genesis chapter 3. And I want to show you something amazing. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, and he and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. Notice they heard his voice, and then it describes his voice as his presence. What we've been teaching, or what I've been trying to teach these last few weeks about valuing the presence of God and why it's important to enter into his presence. You see, God is not a presence. He's a person, and he has a presence. God is not a presence. He's a person who has a presence. And when we come close to him, we sense his presence. You understand that? So when we interact with him and we come into his presence, the Bible shows us the main thing that's supposed to happen when we enter into his presence is that we hear his voice. His voice. The voice of God. And I think the thing that, again, religion has robbed us out of is the reality that we are supposed to hear his voice and know his voice. Because if we're going to be led by the Spirit and we're going to walk after the Spirit and have this relationship with God, We have to hear the voice of God to have relationship with him. Right? I don't think that God gave us a book and then lost his voice after it. No, we were designed to live from his voice. The Bible says that Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? Every word proceeding from his mouth. When you hear a word from someone's mouth, you're hearing their voice. I'm going to say that again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding out of his mouth. Which means that his hearing his voice is just as important as eating every day. As daily we need to eat to sustain our human bodies, so do we need to hear the voice of God to be sustained today. That's how important the voice of God is. You want to know why Christians are so frustrated and full of fear and full of depression and worry and paranoia? It's because they don't know the voice. The voice of God. What about John 10, 27? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you his sheep today? Well, that's proven if you can hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, which means I can't follow him if I don't know his voice. How about Deuteronomy 4:36? I know that's not so familiar, so I'll just turn to it. Deuteronomy 4:36. Watch this. Deuteronomy 4, verse 36 says this. Out of heaven he lets you hear his voice that he might do what? Instruct you. Out of heaven, the King James Version says, out of heaven he made you to hear his voice. It actually says he created you to hear his voice. You were created to hear his voice, to know his voice. And by knowing his voice, I know his presence. And when I know his presence, I know his voice. So man can't live without his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear, know my voice. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4 that we were created to hear his voice. We were created to live in response to the voice of God. That we get our life from hearing his voice. We get our instructions to how to live a successful, prosperous life by hearing his voice. That the very reason why Adam could not live forever and prosper is because he no longer had the intimacy and the communion with God to know his voice. Every single thing that was created can hear God's voice. Because God created everything with his voice. He spoke the world. The entire universe was created by his word, his voice. He spoke the sun into existence. He spoke the trees into existence. He spoke the stars into existence. Everything that's created has an ear to hear his voice. That's why you can speak to a mountain and it be removed, because it has ears to hear. That's why he said, if you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out and praise him. Everything that was created can respond to the word of God. Hallelujah. You don't hear me. Everything that was created can respond to his voice. I can speak to a dead thing and it can come back to life. I can speak to a sickness and it be changed. I can speak to my circumstances because my circumstances has an ear to hear the voice of God. You need to understand the power of the voice. That if you're going to walk in communion with God, you got to realize that God is giving you the ability to hear him and live in response to him. And when you live in response to him, he will instruct you. Can we just keep reading that? He might instruct you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire, talking about the Israelites, 37. And because he loved your fathers, therefore, he's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because he loved your fathers, therefore, he chose their descendants after them, and he brought you out of Egypt with his what?
Presence.
With his what?
Presence.
He brought you out of Egypt with his presence. Your Egypt is your house of bondage, where you were before you knew the Lord, before you knew his voice. Whatever situation, whatever sin you were in, before you know his voice, you were in bondage to it. But then he brings you out of your captivity with a word. You see, you don't need money. You need a word. You're asking for the wrong thing. Hallelujah. You need a word from the Lord. You want a miracle? Ask for an instruction. Every miracle in scripture is tied to an instruction from the voice. Peter, cast your net on the other side. Peter responds to the voice and he gets a boat sink and catch a fish. Every miracle is tied to an instruction. The lady had no more oil. He said, bring me all that you got, all the vessels you got. The prophet prophesied to her. She brings all the vessels and pours out the oil, and more oil keeps coming. A response to an instruction. We ran out of wine, Jesus. We don't got any wine for this wedding. What did Mary say? Whatever he says to do, do it. All Jesus said to do was bring me the canisters, put water in it, and present it to the governor of the feast. Now, what's so powerful about that amazes me was the fact, not only the fact that the water turned to wine, was that those guys actually gave that water to the guy. I put water in. It was water, but Jesus said, give it to him. Won't you be wondering, like, I know it's water in here, it's not wine. But the word released a miracle. Hallelujah, are you hearing me?
Yes.
Say, I need a word.
I need a word.
To transform my situations. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on. The Lord is going to speak to you today.
Hallelujah.
You were created to respond to the voice of God. That means we are always one word away from a breakthrough. We're one word away from our next miracle. But we have to love his voice and we have to love his presence, because it's in his presence we hear his voice. That's why you want to worship. That's why you want to praise. It's because when I worship and praise, that's what brings me into his presence, and I become aware of his presence. I become sensitive to his voice. And then when he speaks to me, then I can respond, right? Can I show you one more verse? Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. See, I want you to learn to worship with a purpose. Worship with a purpose. There's no reason why you are a believer and you're walking around frustrated. I forgot who said this. He said frustration for a Christian is when a Christian is trying to find comfort in their disobedience. Frustration for a Christian is when you're trying to find comfort in your disobedience. Because you're ignoring a word that will order your steps to bring you to the next place that God has for you. But if you want to do your own thing, You hit a bump in the road, and you don't know what to do. Listen, Moses led the people of Israel from out of Egypt to the promised land. How did he do that? How did he bring Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and into their promised land? Well, we know he didn't make it all the way in. He just brought them to the coast, and then the next generation brought them, right? How did Moses do that? He followed a cloud. He followed a cloud, and a cloud by day and a pillar by night, which represented what? His presence. Right? His presence led the way, right? Moses didn't know where to go half the time. All he did was follow the cloud. All he did was follow the pillar, and this pillar led him where it was going. As a matter of fact, the pillar was moving on its own, and they had to keep up with it. Sometimes it stopped, and when it stopped, they camped. And when they saw the pillar starting to move again, they got up and said, well, it's going. Let's follow his presence. And every time the camp that they stopped, Moses went into the tent, and he had communion with the Lord, and he got instructions, and he kept following him. Do you think that's just Old Testament lifestyle? That's the lifestyle of presence. What's most important for you today, especially today, church? The most important thing in your life right now is learning how to stay aware of the presence of God. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you want to do is be aware of his presence. I don't care how many things you got to do today or do tomorrow. The first thing you do is get tuned in. Give me my daily bread, a daily word from the Lord. And you get his word how? By entering where? Into his presence. I don't care how much stuff you got to do tomorrow or the next day, how busy your day is going to be. The most important thing, the first thing you do is, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your presence. And I want to feel your presence. I want to hear your voice. And the Bible says when you become still, you'll know him. You hear his voice. So what was the verse I just said? We're almost done. Hebrews 3. Go all the way down to verse 15. Go up to verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11. So I swore in my anger that they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in departing from who? The living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called what? Today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So he said the people go astray where? In their what? In their hearts, because this is the place we hear his voice. And it's when we're not responding to his voice, we harden our hearts to his voice. You know that scripture says, quench not the spirit, yes. Grieve not the spirit. It's talking about ignoring the spirit of God as he's trying to speak to you. The presence of God, the spirit of God is trying to commune with you. How often? Every day. While it is today, while it is called today, encourage one another, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So you deceive yourself when you try to go through your day without his presence and without his voice. To think that you can do it without him, you deceive yourself and fall into sin. I know this is a Christianity you're probably not used to, but this is true Christianity. Say that with me. Say, I can hear my Father's voice. I believe that Jesus made a way for me to know the voice of my Father, and I can hear him today. Amen. Let me show you this last verse. Jump down to verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So the sin that keeps us away from God is not believing in our hearts his voice. And the thing that keeps me close to him is by listening and tuning in to his voice daily. Amen? And so let me give you these three keys, and I want you guys to write this down. The three keys to maintaining your awareness of his presence. Number one, his promises. You want to remain aware of God's presence? Remember his promises. Oh, thank you. These three keys to maintaining, these are the three pillars of his presence. God's promises, giving him praise, and living a life of worship. God's promises, his praise, his worship. I don't got time to explain it all. But God's presence is what leads you into his promises. I'm saying that again. The presence of God leads you to experience the promises of God. You know what? You want to know why the presence is here, why the presence of God is with you? It's because he's trying to lead you somewhere. Where is he leading you? He took Israel out of Egypt and was bringing them to the what? Promised land. And they couldn't get there unless the presence of God led them there. So the presence of God is leading you to the promises. So if there's no promise from God that you're pursuing, there's no reason for you to depend on the presence. A promise is a truth that's waiting to be experienced. God gives you a word. He told Abraham, leave your father's house. I'm going to show you a land. Abraham, the father of faith, Genesis 12, got the vision. The Lord spoke to him. He said, all right, I'm going to respond in faith. He goes after the promise. And as he responded to the promise, the presence of God began to guide him and show him where to go. He didn't know where he was going, but all he did was follow the presence. By the end of his life, he became a worshiper. You know, Abraham wasn't a Christian when God called him. As a matter of fact, he was an idol worshiper along with his dad. And God revealed himself to him, gave him a promise, and that promise was an invitation for a relationship. And then what happens is when you experience God coming through, proving his promise through his presence, you learn to praise him for it. Lord, thank you. You came through for me. And my praise is based on a promise that was answered. Or somebody else's promise, right? So, Lord, I thank you for the promise that you answered for me. And then as I continue to live a life of thanksgiving and praise to God, I then learn how to live a life of worship where my entire life now is surrendered to the one who answered his promise. So worship starts with God. It doesn't start with me. You hear that, Nikita? Worship starts with God. It doesn't start with you. If you want to know how to worship, say, Lord, give me a promise. Hallelujah. Give me a promise. Prove your word to me. And if you need to find a promise, just open up this book. It's full of promises. And I say, well, Lord, you said in your word that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I feel alone right now. I need you to come through for me. Hallelujah. And you'd step out on faith according to that promise. And then God's presence begins to work in and around your life to prove his word to you. So that as you, anybody ever experienced his greatness yet? His power yet? Who has a testimony? Let's hear it real fast. Who has a testimony of what God has done this week? I'm talking about this week. Brother Ron, what's up? Come quickly.
Amen. Glory to God. I didn't make church Sunday, but Bajan shared the word with me, praising, expecting, see. And I grabbed hold of that, and I was in a real financial need, real, like, serious financial need. And one morning, Thursday morning, someone called me and just said, have you been praying? I was like, yeah, I was praying. He's like, well, God told me to give you X and X amount. It was a huge amount of money. And I was like, wow.
Have you been praying?
Yeah, I had been praying. But it's like, he's just showing me, like, when you, like you said, just trust in him and lean on him and stop trying to do it on our own, you know. But he came through in a major way.
Wow. Come on. Somebody praise him. Come on. And so now God gave him rest. And the Bible says, I'm going to give you rest. Somehow I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm going to answer my promise. You hear that? Do you hear that?
Yes.
He will answer his prayers when your prayers are based on his promise.
Thank you, Father.
Because his presence is going to emerge out of his promise. Hallelujah. You want to share quickly? Yeah. She shared me a testimony from the Lord. I just wanted to say it.
Yeah. Hi, God bless everyone. So a few weeks ago, the pastor said, take a piece of paper, write down whatever, put it on the altar. So I wrote down my father, because my father, since October, he's been in bed. He can't walk. He's had numerous operations. The devil said he has a weak heart. He won't be able to survive the operations. He had it or whatever. So I was like, you know what, God? I'm not even going to pray no more. All I'm going to do is I'm going to say thank you. It's done. He's going to walk me down the aisle with or without a leg in a wheelchair, whatever it may be. On Friday, we got the news that my father's leg is no longer, the skin is not growing in dead anymore. Now it's red. And within a month, he will be getting physical therapy and he should be walking soon. And which is crazy, because all I said was, years ago, I was like, oh, I'll never get married. I'm not about that life. And, you know, now it's like, this is my motivation for October, for me to get married, for him to walk down the aisle. And then one more thing really quickly. He's not going to say it, so I'm going to say it for him. He's been praying for a job and whatever the case may be. And we came here and we heard the song, When Jesus Says Yes, Nobody Can Say No.
Yeah.
We've never ever heard it before. So like a few weeks ago, he was like, Jasmine, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And I'm like, you know, because I grew up in church, so I know of the Lord. He never did, so he's just learning. So he was singing that, whatever. So anyway, he went on the interview. Everything went well. He calls me back, and he's like, Jasmine, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. So he got the job, and he doesn't complain to come to church because he feels comfortable here. So God bless.
Come on. When Jesus says yes. We've been singing that song for a reason. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Can we just thank him? That's just a few testimonies happening. Sister Carol, you want to share? Come on. And we're only doing this because I want you to see the reality of this stuff.
Yes.
This is not coincidences. This is not happening by chance. You're putting your faith in the living God, and his presence is working around your life. And you got to stay in expectation of what he can do, not what you can do. Come on.
Oh my God, I have so many testimonies, it's crazy. But what, I believe the one the pastor wants me to talk about is because you all know what we've been through just about 6-7 weeks ago and whatnot. But prior to Phil's passing, we've been struggling with a lot of things, financially, the house, tenants, da-da-da, and what have you. And here's what God did as soon as Phil passed away. God gave us a tenant who not only moved in, but paid us 3 months in advance rent. 3 months in advance. I've never, ever had that experience. So there is money in the bank to pay the mortgage for the next 3 months.
Hallelujah. Let's turn it to a testimony service. Everybody got a testimony?
I just said yes, God. quick. Those of you who know me, I'm a child care provider. And, you know, God was like, it was time to transition and moving. And the word God gave us as a family for this year was transition and movement. Ooh, God. Anyway, so my friend and I started a daycare March. And I'm like, I'm there 6 o'clock in the morning, going to my job at 11, going to my second job at 3, getting home at 7, and I'm really exhausted. So, like, God, I need to move on. I need to. But my job was like, how am I going to say that? Suppose something happened, whatever, whatever. Anyway, Ajit and I were having devotion one morning, and I was like, God, I need a word, because I need to move on. But the daycare doesn't have much kids. We have rent to pay. And I said, God, I just said, the faith that you talk about, activate it. And I said, okay, God, today you have to show me that I need to quit this job. And I was walking to work, and someone said, a friend and I was talking, like, oh, well, I don't know what's going to happen. And she's like, and I said, oh, well, I have a daycare. She's like, really? She's like, oh, I have 2 kids, blah, blah, blah. We met, whatever. We have kids now. Then I got a text from someone, one of our members. She's like, is your daycare still working? I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, can we meet? We met. Her kid is in our daycare. I went to work, and I was like, God, I'm going to tell her this week that, you know, come this summer is going to be my last. And she sent me a text, oh, can we talk later? I was like, sure. She's like, well, I quit my job, so this is the last 3 weeks. My stomach did some backflip. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And not only did she tell me this in my last 3 weeks, she's paying me from now till September. God's amazing.
Come on. 3 months, man. I told you it's a 3-month grace and release over us. Come on.
My son Josiah, yeah, my name or not. Yeah. This thing called Prep for Prep. Well, all the kids, 2,000 kids go and try to get into it. Mm-hmm. He tried 5 years in a row to try to get in. He fell short every single time. So this one time, it's a 14-month process, and God blessed him when he got in. Out of 2,000 kids, 75 kids got in, and he's one of the 75 kids got in. Thank you. So now, school is out since Friday, right? Last day of school is Friday?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes back to school all summer, Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, all summer, to get ready for high school. And then when regular school starts, he goes every Saturday from 9 to 5 again. It's called Prep for Prep. It's an excellent. And then if they're getting prepared to go to high school, when he goes to high school, he lives on campus for the whole 4 years of high school. And then most of those kids who go to Prep for Prep, they go to Ivy League schools, Harvard, Yale. So God is good. Thank you.
Josiah, that's my boy.